In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I was telling the confirmation class yesterday that as we gathered here on the Blue Cheers last night, the reason that we read the scripture, the gospel, from the centre, many people have no idea why we do that. Why does he make the journey there? He just wants some exercise. The reason that we do it is because the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the elevated story of our salvation. So we want to put it at the centre. Along with the theme today, it's a great story of the shepherd of the sheep who came to look us out and find us and to save us. So that's why we put it at the centre. It's the reason that we stand, because we realise that what we've become part of, this true story that has changed everything, has lifted us up. It's made us whole, or at least we're on a journey towards wholeness. And that's why we place it at the centre. And we stay with it. I was reminded in the confirmation group yesterday that there are four things that we need for our spiritual nourishment. We need to develop a prayer life. If you haven't got a prayer life, where you stop and you center your life on the Father, your spiritual life will not be sustained. In terms of the gospel story, it's like building your house on sand. You have to develop a prayer life. Secondly, you have to read Holy Scripture. That's what the early church did. They taught one another the apostles' doctrine. They read Holy Scripture because this is God's instruction book for life. It's our sat-nav in modern terminology. It's the story of salvation that lasted millennia. So we need to be rooted in the Scripture. So your spiritual life will not be sustained, brothers and sisters, if you do not read the Scripture, preferably daily. Thirdly, the early church fellowship together. And that's what we do here today. We come and we fellowship one another. We sit together. We are the body of Christ. Not my church, your church, our church. Everybody here is a person that belongs, because you are made in the image of God, you're a child of God, and therefore we gather together to recognize one another. And by the way, it's so important, if you do not make peace when we come to the peace with one another, and there is a problem in your own personal life, or you're not in good relationship with somebody else in the church here, you cannot receive Holy Communion, really. Because Paul says, if you receive Holy Communion and really in your heart, in some way you're out of fellowship, the chances are you will not be healed and you will die early. It's that serious. Prayer, reading of the Scripture, fellowshipping together. And the fourth thing they did was that they broke bread together. And they received Holy Communion. And I'll say a little bit more of that in a moment. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I wonder if you're a bit like me, you need to have your life and your soul restored in some way. We are losing as a society our grip on truth. We are losing as a society our grip on truth. And so it's very difficult to know what we can trust anymore. Government, economics, politics at large, world states, world leaders. It's very difficult to know what we can trust anymore. One of the things that gives me great consolation is that I believe as we gather together, fellowship, pray, break bread, read scripture together, we come back to those things that we can truly trust. We come back to the Good Shepherd. I'm very pleased today that in Rome there will be a celebration of the Holy Communion by a new shepherd of the Roman Catholic Church that affects millions. I'm delighted that it's received so much attention, because maybe once again we need to turn our hearts back to what really is so significant and important. And for all of us, if you want to discover the nature of the Good Shepherd, you've got to pray, you've got to read scripture, you've got to come in fellowship with one another and forgive each other, and you've got to receive His holy word, His holy sacrament. And through that, you will be made whole. All of us are broken. Many of us come from broken families. Many of us are in broken relationships, broken marriages, broken hearts, broken history. We are all come here today broken. If there's ever a time where we need to hear the shepherd's voice calling us by name to come back to him, it's now. So it's worth asking ourselves today, whose voice are we listening to? Again, we are losing our grip on truth as a society. So there are so many competing voices now. Whose voice are we listening to? That's why scripture is so important. That's why prayer is so important. Fellowship is so important, because whose voice are we ultimately listening to? Because everybody here is following somebody or something in their heart and in their mind. And it's either making you whole or it's destroying you. And that's why so many of us live frenetic, anxious, fearful lives. We wake up at 3 a.m. with our heart racing because deep down we are insecure and uncertain. We don't know what the future is going to be because we do not hear the voice of the shepherd calling us by name. You need to have your soul restored. For 5 years, before Barbara and I had children, every summer we used to pack a car, the beginning of August, and we'd drive all the way to Austria, 700 miles from Calais, a long journey, often through the night. We discovered this place just outside the city of Salzburg, and it was the most wondrous place that we'd ever discovered, in one sense, still on earth. Glorious mountains, grass greener than any grass you'd ever seen, the greenest, greenest grass, and beautiful, crystal clear lakes that went on into the distance. And I'm a keen swimmer, and I used to swim out into the middle of the lake and look up at this majesty, this wonder, this glory. And I wondered why we went there, apart from just the beauty. We used to have a little tent and a small primer stove. And we went there year after year after year. And one day I discovered why we went there. And it was because we came back to Psalm 23, where it says, "He leads me in green pastures." pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That's why we went there. We went there because we wanted a shepherd. We went there year after year because we realized that we needed our soul restored. We needed still waters and green pastures. He restored our soul. At the time, we were running a huge young people's ministry, about 300 plus people in a church. And we needed our souls restoring, as well as our busy daily life. And perhaps we've come here today because we too need our souls restoring. So thank you for coming. And perhaps the greatest place where our soul is restored, I want you to get this because it's really important. The greatest place where our soul is restored and we're put back together, our brokenness, all of us, is at Holy Communion. Why do I say that? If I gave you an invitation today, come with me from this place. Let's go next door to the hall. And in the hall next door is the living Jesus. That invitation. Come with me next door. And in the door next door is actually the living Jesus. And he wants to meet us. After checking our own hearts, we would want to go there, wouldn't we? We want to see the living Jesus. We would want to go there. And did you know that every time we break bread together, once the priest has consecrated the bread and the wine, the early Christian community believed, as they gathered and broke bread and drank wine together, that they were encountering in those things, that bread and wine, the living Jesus. It's like me inviting you next door to meet with the living Jesus. And when we really received the living Christ in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine, and we understand its power, that's when we are truly made whole. That's our green grass and that's our still waters. He will restore your soul. And that's why we need to discern it properly as we receive it, because here is the living Christ present amongst us. And they met on the first day of the week when he rose from the dead to encounter the risen Jesus. And it's scary. Because coming back to what Paul says, you cannot go next door and meet the risen Jesus, my invitation. You cannot break bread here if your heart is not truly in the right place. Because if you do, he says, Paul, you will die young and you will remain sick. That's why we must come and we must check our hearts. And that's why we have the peace, by the way, because we need to be reconciled to him and to one another. Not to prolong it. I wonder whether you've got this little sheet. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. On one side we've got a song, on the other side we've got this little reflection. We're going to read this together to finish today. Out loud, all of us. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. He said that's relationship. Make sure you got the right one. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest.
He leadeth me beside still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's comfort. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Forever. That's eternity. So this wonderful little psalm about the Good Shepherd. So much blessing in a few lines. That's what we've come to know. That's ours. And just to finish, turn over the page now. This is a lovely little song that we often sing. The Lord is my shepherd. We're going to sing it as I finish today, and then I'll pray. So Alan will lead us, and we'll remain seated.
Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still small waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercies follow me, your goodness will lead me home. He guides my way in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows. Feast on his pure delight, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercies follow me, your goodness will lead.
You anointest my head with oil. And so, Lord, we pray especially for those who will be confirmed next week by the Bishop of London here. Lord, may we hear your voice and allow you to find us as our shepherd. Amen.